All right, the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph and Vav Mitzvah. The Mishnah says, "Mitzah berefes." If you find something in, what is this? The barn? What's about refes? Stable. You have barn.
Barn.
All right, there you go. Mitzah berefes ein chayiv ba. You don't have to give it back. Okay, I'm not really sure why that's in the Gemara. Birshus Harabim chayiv ba. If you find it in the public thoroughfare or public domain at all, so then you have to give it back. And if it was in a cemetery and he's a Kohen, lo yitame la. You should not become tame for the sake of returning it. I'm amar lo aviv hitame. If the father of the Kohen says, go into the cemetery, become tame, and return the lost item. Oh, sh'amar lo al tachzer. Or if he says, don't give back the item. Or generally, if you're a father of a non-Kohen, says to somebody, don't give back the item, lo yishmala. You are not obligated to listen to a father who tells you to violate the Torah. Parak v'tan, parak v'tan. I feel abra v'chamish v'paim chayef shenamar azov ta'azov, as we already darshened yesterday. Halach v'yashav lo v'amar ho'el v'alach mitzvah im ritzon chalifrak prok. If the owner of the animal is there and says to the person, because it's a mitzvah for you to do this, I'm going to let you do this. So then patzer, you don't have to. Shenamar imo. That's what I was wondering about yesterday. Yesterday we had given all these drushes about, oh, if he's doing it with you, if he's not doing it with you, you still have to do it. I guess if he says it explicitly is different. Im hayazakin ochola chayev. If the owner isn't doing it, but it's because he's old or infirm, so then you still chayev to do it. Meaning he's not leveraging the halacha over you. Mitzvah min haTorah lifrak v'lo l'tone. What? That's interesting. Yesterday we definitely impossible like this, but Tanakham says the mitzvah min haTorah is only to unload, but not to load. Maybe Shimon Omer af l'tone. I guess this gets back to something we mentioned yesterday, which is that the psukim aren't so clear. Azov ta'azov. So we'll have to see what the Gemara says, but Rabbi Shimon says they're both midaraisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer im haya alav yaser amasa'o ein zakuklo. If the load on the donkey was greater than it should have been, then you do not have to help. Shenamar tachas masa'o masa'o sheyachol amod bo. Masa'o means his burden, its burden. Its burden means something it typically does. If the owner is abusing the animal, so then you don't have any obligation to help it out. The owner should do it. Says the Gemara Amrava, Rafas Shamra Enim Mas'a. When we talked about this barn or the stable, you found something in. So then it's referring to a stable which is not. I don't know what Mas'a means. It's not. It's not the type of thing the animal is going to escape from, I guess. But it's also not locked. From the fact that it says you're not chayv about it, means that the case is when it's not causing the animal to flee. If it would be the type of place which would cause the animal to flee, so then maybe you would have to prevent it in that way and bring it back to the owner. From the fact that you have to say Eino Chayev means that it's not guarded. If it is guarded, now that you've said that if it's on the outside, you bring it on the inside. If you put it on the inside, would you ever have to say that? If you found the animal on the way, so you put it into the pen, and that would be good enough. You don't even have to tell anyone if it's Mishameris, right? We said that yesterday. If you're putting it into a place which is protected, so you don't have to tell the owner. But if you find it on the inside, so then what do you have to do anything? What do you have to teach us? It must be that it's inside the barn, but the barn is not well enclosed. So therefore, the chiddush is that even on the inside, when it's not enclosed, you do not have to give it back to the owner. El shmamina, enim shmeres, shmamina. Matz berefes ein ochayv. Am Rabbi Yitzchak v'hu she'omedes toch l'tchum. That's assuming the barn is inside the confines of the city limits. Michlad v'shus harabim v'afilu v'soch ha'tchum na'am yichayv. The implication there is even that if it's Rosh Hashanah, not in the barn, but outside of the barn, in the public domain, so then even if that's within the tchum, you'd be chayiv. Ik the master la seif. Some say that's about the seif Rosh Hashanah chayiv, but Amr Rabbi Yitzchak v'hu she'omedes b'chutz l'tchum. that you'd be chai for it in Rishas Rabbim, that's only if it's outside of the tchum. Milchad berefes, that implies that if it's a barn, I feel it as chus the tchum, if the barn is on the outside of the tchum, nami enu chai
v'ba. It's in a barn that presumably belongs in the barn.
Yeah,
lost.
It's a weird one. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the situation I would probably assume. It's like depending on context. Is this someone's personal barn? Is this like a wilderness barn? In a cemetery, you don't have to. Everyone is obligated, even the parents are obligated first to Hashem, and then the child is obligated to the father. So if the father tells me to violate Hashem, so that comes first, you do not listen. The only reason that we darshan that is because it says in conjunction, in juxtaposed to the obligation of listening to the parent, is keeping Shabbos. So halav hachi, if the pasuk did not connect the two, havimina tzaisalei, if it wasn't connected, so then maybe you would think that the son would have to listen. V'amai, but why? Hai asev, hai lo sasev, v'asev. Why would you ever listen? You have, on the one hand, you have the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, and you have the lo sasev and the asev of not returning the object versus returning the object. Meaning, you have the lo sasev of yisalam to mehem, and you have hashev tishivim, or lo suchal yisalim, I don't know which one. But the point is that you have one versus two. The Hashavas Aveda is two mitzvos, and the father telling you to do something, or listening to the father, is two, also only one mitzvah. So lo asi asiv daches lo asiv asiv. So why do I need a pasuk to teach me that? So as everyone knows, Israel tzak dak tachmin hol kibud av im lechvoro shemakom shneamar kan kavit tivich vesimecha neamar lahalin kavit tivich shem mehoncha helkul tzayis lei. Maybe there's a juxtaposition you would have made otherwise, that it's not only like listening to a parent, but it's also like listening to Hashem, based on Pasuk Mishlei. So, Kamashwan, Delo Mashma Lishmale. I don't really know the question in the first place, because the question, the Gemara, the source of the halacha is a general source. Ishimav Aviv Tirov Yashav Society Shmoru is a reference to all mitzvos, meaning it's talking about Shabbos, but you learn that for all mitzvos. And not all mitzvos have two mitzvos, a los asay and an asay. Maybe it's just asking the Shaila about applying this concept to Hashavas Aveda itself. We don't necessarily need this pasuk for Hashavas Aveda, because by Hashavas Aveda you have a lo sasei and an asei. But in a general case, if the father tells you to turn the light off on Shabbos, so then you wouldn't listen. That's asei dechol lo sasei. You would listen. So maybe you would say asei dechol lo sasei, kamashma on this pasuk. But I guess for the Hashavas Aveda purpose, when there are two mitzvahs involved, so then you need to explain it like this too. I don't know. Mitzvah is only for a couple of lutzon. My Avalot. So what does it mean to not unload, to not load? It's not a mitzvah daraisa to load the animal. Ilema avalot on klal. If you can tell me it's not to load at all, ma'ishna prika dechsev azov tazov imo tiina nami hakchsev hakem takim imo. The pesukim have similar language. Ela mitzvah minatar lefrok bechinam v'lo liton bechinam. Right, we mentioned this yesterday. Ela b'sachar, that there's a mitzvah midaraisa to undo the animal, to remove it from its weight. So, Abba Al-Chaim question maybe, but you have to do that for free. But you don't have to load the animal for free. You should only do it if you're getting paid for it. Maybe Shimon Omer, Chayva Litzon Bechinam. Maybe Shimon says, no, you have to load the animal also for free.
What's the Pasuk? The Pasuk?
Hakem Takim Imo. You shall stand it up or establish it.
I don't know how that would include loading.
You're saying the word themselves. You know, the Gemara said yesterday already that the words themselves are not very clear. Even Azov to Azov, who says Azov means to unload? This is how the context of the pasuk is how we interpret it. So yeah, you're right. It's open to interpretation, and that's why here it's a bit of machlokas how to apply it. Tainina lahad tanan rabban prika dechinam teina b'sachar. Rabbi Shimon Omer zubezu bechinam. Okay, just confirming what you just said. My tanan the rabbanon. What's the reason for the rabbanon that say that you shouldn't do teina? You shouldn't load a donkey unless you're getting paid for it. And if you're going to say, Rabbi Shimon, look, the Rechmanet Te'ina v'lo bai prika. Why don't you say the halacha of Te'ina, of loading the animal, and you don't have to tell me to unload the animal. V'ra'amina. U'ma Te'ina d'leis batzar bai lechayim. When it comes to loading the animal, there's not even a pain. V'leik achisr and kiss. And there's no loss of money when that happens, because the animal is not going to be injured or anything if you don't do it. So chayev prika to is batzar ba'el chay. When it comes to unloading the animal, where the animal is in pain, v'chesron kis, and the animal's injury would lead to a loss, financial loss for the owner. So lo kol shekein, all the more so. So why is that the Torah had to say both? It could have just said Tiina. So it says Gemara, says the Rabbanan, the reason why it says both, Lomar lach, prik b'chinam, Tiina b'sachar, to teach you this extra halacha. Now, how do we derive it from these words? I'm not sure, but it has to be some kind of distinction. Rabbi Shimon, my time, Mishum delo mesai mikrai. Said Rabbi Shimon, because it's not very clear, as we said yesterday, it's not clear what the Pesukim mean, and therefore you could have interpreted otherwise, just if you only had Hakim Takim Imo, you could have understood it in a different way. But now that you have Azov Tazov and Hakim Hakim, so then we can sort of juxtaposition, we can say one means one means the other. Rabbanan. And what do the Rabbanan say about that? Amai lo masayim ukrai. Hachiksiv rove stachas naso. Uchs v'hasam kusiv noflin badarech. Dirama inhu utunayhu biorcha mashma. Right, the Rabbanan basically explained that the pasukim themselves talk about the animal buckling under its weight, or the animal falling on the way, which implies
suggests it's loaded already.
What the rofeitz tachas maso, the buckling under the weight.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what the Rabbanan is saying. You can understand what the words mean. Yes, the words aren't so clear. In a vacuum, you wouldn't necessarily know what the words mean. But in context, you understand what's going on. You understand what the Torah is trying to say. So, Rabbi Shimon, what you don't care? What do you think about the context of the pesukim? Noflin baderach inhu utunaihu ilavaihu mashma. When it says that it's falling on the way, what does it mean falling on the way? Which we interpret to mean that it is
still loaded.
It's already loaded. Right? That's why it's falling. Maybe you could say that it's falling on the way. So that's why we need two pesukim to teach us that. I guess the Rabbanan think that no, that's not so clear. Noflim Maderach. The context is more clear, referring to that it's not loaded yet. Okay, Amar Rav on to Lama Beis Lama Beis. Midivrei Shneim Nilmad. From the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, we learn Tzar Ba'al Chaim Darasa. Ooh, this is a big sugya. It's a big sugya. Evan, you have animals?
You have a dog.
You have a dog, right? David, you ever have any pets?
Fish.
I don't know if that counts, but yeah. But yes, this is a big sugya for the pet owners. Tzar Ba'al Chaim, this is the main sugya for the sugya, for the concept. is the pain of animals a din d'oraisa, meaning that you have to accommodate the pain of animals? Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? It's learned out from this Gemara. Here we go. Tzar Ba'al Chaim d'oraisa, v'afil Rabbi Shimon, lo kamar el mishum d'lo mesayim mikrai. That the implication from the Rabbanan is, this also gets to a very fine Gemara methodological point, some like what we said yesterday by the cannibalism shear. So what do we learn from Rabbi Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon? Both of them care about the animal. Both of them are worried about the Tzar Ba'al Chaim. It's just for Rabbi Shimon, we had to teach both of them because it's not clear from the Pesukim. But he agrees that if the Pesukim were clear, then you would be able to make this Kal V'Chomer. Once you obligated in Te'ina, all the more so you'd be obligated by Prika, you'd be obligated to unload the donkey because of Tzar Ba'al Chaim. That there's a greater loss to the animal, there's pain to the animal, there's loss to the owner.
This is the source of Tzar Ba'al Chaim.
Yes, this is the source of it. Well, according to most, they derive it from these psukim about unloading the animal. I'm pretty sure. Ava Mesai may cry. But if it was, so then Darshina Kal V'Chomer, he would have said it. Mishum Mai. Why would he say the Kal V'Chomer? La Mishum Tzar Ba'al Chaim. Why would the Rabbanan, as they do, and why would Rabbi Shimon, if the Pesukim would be more clear, why would they make the Kal V'Chomer? Right? The Kal V'Chomer said, if you remember, it said, if the Torah could have said to Ina, the Torah could have said, you have the obligation to load the animal, and it would not have to say Prika. It would not have to say it at all. And the Rabbanan actually do learn this. Rabbi Shimon would have learned if it was more clear. They wouldn't have to say it at all. Because why? Because the working assumption is Tzar Ba'al Chaim Doresa. The working assumption is that because the animal would be in pain, all the more so you'd have to undo or unload the animal if we know you have to load it. So now the Gemara is going to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dilma Mishum Di'ikar Chisron Kis. Wait a second. We said something else. It wasn't just Tzar Ba'al Chaim that we said that. We also said because of the financial loss, meaning we were worried about the owner's property. Not necessarily the pain of the animal. It was both. We said both.
Okay,
if you have to load the animal and the animal is not in danger of getting injured, so then all the more so when the animal is at risk for getting injured, and it would be a loss to the owner to lose that animal. So all the more so you'd have to do prika. Says the Gemara, "Utiina in b'chisron kis." Is that really true? That loading an animal comes at no financial loss. Milo askinin to adahachi v'hachi bat mishukei. Maybe from the fact that they're delaying, they can't walk because you have to wait until you load the animal. They're losing money all the time that you don't load the animal. The guy's losing money. He can't get to the marketplace to bring his merchandise. So Gemara says, "Inami asu ganave v'shachli kol madik v'day." If you don't load that animal and you just leave all the merchandise on the floor, so then maybe some thief is going to come right off with it. So that is chisaron kis. So maybe that's not a good kav v'chomer. It's interesting. I don't know theoretically if that actually undoes the Tzar Bal Chaim argument, but at least you can't prove it. So teida the Tzar Bal Chaim deraisa. You should know, even without that kav v'chomer, we must understand that Tzar Bal Chaim is deraisa. Dikatani seifa, because the end of the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yosef Gili Omer, im haya alav yasra maso, ein zakaklo, that if the owner put too much merchandise on the back of this animal, so then you don't have to help it. Shenemar tachas maso, maso sheachu la'amod bo. So that's only the shita of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So it says the Gemara, lav mechlal de tanakama savar zakuklo. Does that not mean the Tanakhama would disagree with Rabbi Yosef Aglili and said you'd still have to go help? My taima. Why? Lav mishum de tzar bal chaim deresa. Is that not because tzar bal chaim deresa, the load is too large and therefore it's going to hurt the animal? Says the Gemara, no. Dilma betachas maso pligi. Maybe they just disagree about how to understand the word tachas maso, not because the animal's in pain. That the word maso means its burden, its typical burden. That it's any burden. It could be a big burden, it could be a little burden, it could be a burden that's used to, it could be a burden not used to. But the word tachas maso is not to be darshin, to be teaching us that it's more than it's necessary, more than is typical. Okay, fine. So it says more again. Let's now try to prove that it's not midaraisa, that Tzar Bal Chaim is only midrabanan. Tikatani Reisha, because the beginning of the Mishnah said, Halach v'yashav lo, if the person, the owner, moves over and just sits by the side of Amar lo, ho v'alech mitzvah lefrok prok, patr shenemar imo. The pasuk says imo. So this is a good raya. V'yisagadai tzach Tzar Bal Chaim daraisa. If you're going to tell me that the decrease or the what's the word I'm looking for? The relief of the pain of the animal is a din d'araisa. So then mali isilam maribadei, umali kilesim maribadei. What do I care about the owner? What do I care what the owner says? You have an animal that's in pain. Go help the animal. Elamai, it must be Tzar Bal Chaim is only a din d'rabanan. And therefore this pasuk comes and outdoes that din d'rabanan. Says Gornau. Le'olam Tzar Bal Chaim d'araisa. We can still say that maybe even according to this, Tzar Bal Chaim is still d'araisa. Why? Me severed pater, pater legamre. Who's to say the word pater there that you don't have to go help means completely pater? Vidilma pater bechinam v'chay v'sachar, which is interesting. We'd even call that din d'araisa, but you don't have to do it for free, but you would have to do it if they're willing to pay you. You have an obligation me d'araisa that if you get paid, so, you have to go do it.
I can just picture this, especially since the Torah speaks of your enemy.
Right.
So I've got an enemy that I really want to
stick it to it, yeah.
Stick it to. And my enemy is a rich banker.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't do undignified work.
Okay.
And so I grossly overload my donkey. And my rich banker enemy walks by and I said, you know, you're obligated to unload my donkey. It's in pain.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to help you. And he said,
I think you got the money backwards.
What?
I think the person, the owner of the animal has to pay.
Correct. And okay. So the owner of the animal to the banker says, I'm not doing it. You're not even helping me.
Yeah, okay.
You have to do it anyway. I'll pay you. I'm going to pay you minimum wage. I'm going to pay
you. Oh, that's what you meant. You mean you're going to waste the banker's time.
I'm going to waste the banker's
time. I hear you.
And make him do undignified work.
Did we see that halacha bit? We haven't. I don't think we talked about how much you have to pay for Hashavas Aveda. We're saying sachar here. We haven't seen it here yet. Right. So maybe you might be right. You might be right. I don't know.
We haven't seen it yet.
So. So, but yeah, okay, that's interesting. Preemptive proposition there.
Even if I had the pain, I just get right. Malicious delight in right.
Manual labor. I get it. He's a desk guy. He's got a desk job.
Why you can't say that? You know, he's exempt, but not entirely exempt. In that, he's exempt.
He doesn't have to do it himself, but he could hire somebody else to do it.
He's exempt when the owner is so obnoxious as to refuse to help without excuse. He's not elderly or
anything. That's the shot of the Mishnah, and that's what we were trying to darshan. Right. Now we're trying to say that that's a proof that it's darais, that's darabana, not darais. And now we're saying, no, maybe it's bechinam patzer, but b'chai v'sachar. V'alchi kam rachmara. Ki iselim laribadei avid gabei bechinam. When the owner is working there and he's trying to help also, so then you do it with him for free. When the owner doesn't want to do it, so avid gabei b'sachar lo'olam tzar ba'el chaim d'oraisa. But that's not to teach you about tzar ba'el chaim. It just teaches you that when you help relieve the tzar ba'el chaim, you are owed money. So now the Gemara is going to try to say that through a simon, right? Simon here means that we're going to bring five different examples. Bemas, bemas, oev, sonev, ravtzin. This used to be the way that people would remember Torah Shebaal Peh. So if you want to try to remember these Gemaras, all the proofs that we're about to bring to prove Tzar Bar L'chaim Daraisa, so then you can remember this phrase, Bemas, Bemas, Oiv Soni Ravtsin. That's what they used to repeat to themselves. Bemas, Bemas, Oiv Soni Ravtsin, to remember these examples. But what do you know about the fact that we have five examples? That means at least the first four don't work. We'll see about the fifth one, right? Because we wouldn't need five unless we... doesn't work. Says Gemara, Lema Masayle Behemas Oved Kochavim Metapelva Kebemas Yisrael. If you have an animal that is buckling under its weight, but it belongs to a non-Jew, so then you have to help undo it, even if it just like if it was a Jew.
It's a so term, so
good.
That would make sense.
That would make sense if it's a Reisa. That the Tzar Ba'al Chaim is an independent value, regardless of what the pasuk says. Says Gemara, "E Amar Bishlama." If you're going to say that's Tzar Ba'al Chaim Daraisa, Mishum Hachi Mipatzba Metapelba. If it's Daraisa, that makes sense. Why you're dealing with a Kebemas Yisrael? El Imar Ba'al Tzar Ba'al Chaim Lav Daraisa. If it's not Daraisa, so am I Metapelba Kebemas Yisrael? Why are you helping it like you would for a Jew? Obvious answer: relations. Right? You want to get along with our non-Jews? Yeah, Mishum Has Mishum Eva. Eva, I think, literally translates to fighting or hatred, which is the same thing, right? That Darik HaShalom, we want to get along with our neighbors.
Enmity.
Enmity, yeah. So, Hachanami Mestabra, Degatani Im Haisa Tuna Yain Aser. If it's loaded with Yain Nesech, so then Ein Zakakla, you don't have to help it. I Amir Bishlami Lav Daresa. If you're going to tell me it's not Daraisa Mishum Hachi Ein Zakakla, that's why you don't have to help it, because it's not about the animals, it's about the merchandise or the loss of financial. El Yomar Daraisa Amai Ein Zakakla. But if it was Daraisa, so then you have to go help the animal. It doesn't matter what's on the back. So Hachi Yomar says, well, no, that's not necessarily true. Ula Hat'ina Yayin Aser Ein Zakakla. To load it, it would be Aser. But that's the only case, that's the case they're talking about there. To load it, to help somebody... you know, to help somebody, first of all, you'd be helping them transfer Yayin Esach, which could be a problem of helping someone do it else. But beyond that, it's Te'ina. Te'ina is not a Tzar Ba'al Chaim as much. Right? Tzar Ba'al Chaim is when the animal is struggling under the weight. Te'ina is when you're helping load the animal. There's no pain there. Tashima, second example. Be'amas ha'vikachav ha'maso Yisrael. U'maso Yisrael. If there's a non-Jewish animal being belong to a non-Jew, but the merchandise belongs to a Jew, v'chal dal tav, the pasuk says, and you don't do it, so then v'chal dal tav. Oh, I guess we're darshening v'chal dal tav means you are allowed to. There are times where you're allowed to not help, and that's one of those times. V'chal dal tav. V'i amar tar ba lechaim daraisa amai v'chal dal tav. Why would you be allowed to sort of neglect it? Azov tazov mi ba'elei. You should be helping. I don't know why we're speaking in code here, but we're using words of the psukim to teach us what the halacha should be. Why are we allowing v'chadata, which means to neglect it? You should be requiring azov tazov. You should be helping. Because it's daraisa. So the Gemara lo'olam tzar ba'al chaim daraisa. V'hasa mitzina. Maybe you could say, The Tzar Bel Chaim is Doresa. In that case, it's only by Tzina. Because it doesn't say, right, it says, Behemas Ovik Chavim V'Hamasoi Yisrael. It doesn't say the stuff is already on the animal. It could be off the animal. So maybe that's only Tzina, and therefore it's not Tzar Bel Chaim proof. So that's more, Yihachi Ema Seifa. What about the end of that same Brisa that says, Behemas Yisrael V'Hamasoi Ovik Chavim, so then Azov Ta'azov. V'Ibe Tzina, Amai Azov Ta'azov. If it's talking about loading up the animal, so then why are you helping? There's no Tzar Bel Chaim there. Meaning, if it's Tiina, so then why would you ever be Chayev if it's not both the animal and the merchandise being of the Jew? So the Gemara says, Mishum Tzar Di Yisrael, because it is the Jewish person who owns the animal, he'd be in pain for not having his merchandise properly. So for not having his animal properly, I guess, used, I don't know. I don't know exactly. I guess the Jew, I'm imagining like the Jew owns the animal and like is renting out or the Jew is a, he's a carrier service and this is his job. And, you know, now he can't work. He can't do his job because the stuff's all over the floor. So says my pasakta. Why are we saying that the situation is? Stama de milsa inish basar chamrei azil. I think we're questioning the situation of whose animal's whose. Oh, Mishum Tzara di Yisrael, we're saying that this guy, this poor guy, is waiting for his animal to be reloaded. How do we know the poor guy who's waiting for the animal to be reloaded is the owner of the animal? Maybe it's the Jew has some kind of, he owns, FedEx, and he just hires out laborers to bring his animals places. So how do we know Tzara di Yisrael that the owner even knows about it? The owner doesn't even know what's going on. So someone who knows the Inish Chamer Chazil, the person who owns the animal is going to be with the animal. Says about Bahava Chalatava Azov Tazov Bepriku Dechzivi. Wait a second, I was going to ask this. The pasuk says V'Chadalta, and the words Azov Tazov are not by Tina. We made the claim that it's not Tzar Bel Chaim question because this is all about loading the animal. But loading the animal doesn't have the words V'Chadalta V'Azov Tazov. Those words, which the Brisa uses to teach us the halacha, are only written by prika, by unloading, which is a Tzar Bel Chaim situation. So therefore, maybe we have to understand it differently. Amar Le Hamani, who's this according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he de Amar Tzar Bel Chaim Lav Daraisa. It's according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who definitively holds that Tzar Bel Chaim is Darabanan. Or at least not Daraisa, I should say. Not Daraisa. There are some in-betweeners that might be not the Rabbanan, but also not Daraisa. So, Atashima, okay, that didn't work because we just established it, Rabbi Yosef Aglili. I can't imagine that we can't use that for every situation. We can just always say, oh, it's just Rabbi Yosef Aglili. But I don't know. Okay, let's go to the third case. Tashima, Ohev Lifrok, Sone Litone, Mitzvah Besone. You've got two situations. You've got an animal on the one hand who is an animal which is buckling under its weight, and the owner of the animal is your friend, and you have your enemy whose animal's merchandise fell over and you have to put it back on. So which one do you prefer? Which one should you do first? Says the Gemara, Mitzvah Besone. You should do the animal that of your enemy first. To work on yourself and go against your instinct and overcome your inclination and help your enemy. So the Tzar Bel Chaim Daraisa Ha'adifle. I don't know how to say that, but it's basically saying you should do the other one. That prika, unloading the animal, which is buckling under the weight, is clearly in more pain. The animal Tzar Bel Chaim, you have to unload that animal first. And yet here we're saying that you can go to the Tiina animal first. So it says, Says the Gemara, that's not necessarily a proof that Tzar Baal Chaim is not Daraisa. It's just to say how important Lachov HaSitro is. That even if the Isser Daraisa, even if Tzar Baal Chaim is a Din Daraisa, that we have to accommodate, the concept of Kei Lachov HaSitro is that much stronger. That we should work on ourselves that much more, that we should neglect Tzar Baal Chaim, and you're still fulfilling a mitzvah Daraisa. In both cases, you're fulfilling mitzvah Daraisa. But Tzar Baal Chaim doesn't push it over the edge.
So this is a very troubling case, because let's assume that most people in the world are not your enemies. You have no enemies.
Okay.
But you have or very few. And so you have a loyal friend who has
right.
helped you. Most of the time, a friend is somebody who helps you.
Right, right.
And so you're ignoring the person to whom you have a duty of hakaret hatov.
Right.
And for some jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't know if he's an objective jerk. He's an interpersonal jerk. Right? We don't know that this guy's a bad guy just because you guys hate each other. It could be because, you blew his leaves onto his yard or something. I don't know.
He is a bad guy.
Okay, you could assume that. You're saying that would be one of the possible cases, that he is actually a bad guy.
Why else?
So then there might be a different situation. I don't know. In other interpersonal mitzvos, we do have a drasha of re'acha b'mitzvos. You have to re'acha that you're only obligated to help somebody who is at least committed to doing mitzvos. But if it's a bad guy, you wouldn't. Same with kibud av aim, there's a threshold like that also. So I don't know. Interesting question. Tashima, I think attempt number four.
You're forbidden to have an enemy unless there is a good cause for it.
Yeah, no, there is a time where you're allowed to hate somebody.
Correct.
There is.
And so let's assume that the hatred is deserved because otherwise you're forbidden to have it.
Whether you're forbidden or not, there's always taking.
Yeah, I think there are levels to the level to the kind of hatred, but I hear what you're saying. Sonacha. I think this is more of a colloquial.
Is sitting there, what?
Right, exactly. Look, the pasuk, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Yeah. You have to go.
Well, you go find your enemy, but I don't have any enemies.
Right. I don't know. Tashima. Easier said than done. Tashima. Sone she'amri. When we say in the pasuk, the person that you hate, Soni Yisrov, lo b'soni oved chachavim. I guess similar to what we were just talking about. That we're talking about someone who is a Jewish person with hostility towards you. Lo b'soni oved chachavim, not a non-Jewish. So, I amar tzar ba'al chaim daraisa, mali soni Yisrov, mali soni oved chachavim. Why are you making distinctions? The animal's in pain. What does it make a difference? So the Gemara says, mi savart asone dekra kai, asone demasnisen kai. We're not talking about the pasuk. We're talking about the Mishnah, which says, Oev Lifrok Vesoni Liton. In that situation of Oev Lifrok Vesoni Liton, so then you have to make it's only relevant when you have these two options. It's only relevant when they're both Jews. But not to say that the Indian of Prika is only by Jews. That would be all the time. Interesting, that makes a distinction too. Sashima Rovates Velo Rabtzan. Rovates below Omed. When the pasuk says that the donkey is buckling, I don't know how it says, crouching?
Lying down.
Not a ravtzan, not that it's doing that as a general behavior, but it's doing that because of the rovates, it's an active thing, that it's buckling under the weight. Rovates below Omed, and it's not still standing. So then there's no help. Tachas masa'o v'lo maforak. Only if it's still under the weight, but not if it's. What does this mean? Below meforak.
But not when whose burden was unladen.
I don't even know what you would do in that case. If it's already off the animal, how would you help? I'm not really sure. Tachas masa.
It's in need of loading.
A what?
It's in need of loading.
Oh, that's towing though. That's a different halacha. I don't know. Below meforak. Tachas masa. Oh, maso shiachol amod bo. Specifically, a typical amount, which is like what we saw in the Mishnah. V'yamar tzar ba'al chaim daraisa, mali rovitz, mali ravtzan, mali omed. What does it matter why the animal did it or how the animal did it? If the animal's in pain, the animal's in pain. So you have to help it. So, hamani rabbi yosef, lihi, tzar ba'al chaim darabanan, That's interesting. Before it said, Ein tzar b'lachayim d'oraisa. Here it's saying, according to Rabbi Yosef Halevi. Hachanam mistabrin, tekatani tachas ma'asa'o ma'asoy shuyach la'am. Bo ma'an shamas le'di islay ha'isu. All right, Rabbi Yosef Halevi, shvamina. Right, only Rabbi Yosef Halevi is the one that said that. The Rabbanan disagreed with it, that it has to be a typical burden. But if it's more than that, you don't have to. Says Gemara, wait, umi ma'asis mok ma'as la, Rabbi Yosef Halevi, v'hakatani seifa, tachas ma'asoy v'lo ma'forek. My lo ma'forek. What does it mean that it's not already unladen? Ilem lo ma'forek la'al. If we're going to talk about, that it's fully unloaded already, so then it says hakem takim yimo. How could that ever be? Ela pshita lo meforek bechinam ela besachar. Rather, it must be a situation where it's still some kind of obligation, even if it's fully unloaded, and it must be that you don't do it. You don't help for free, but you do it if you're paid. Man shamas le de islay hai svara. That's the Rabbanan. Who's the one that says that there's such a thing, a distinction for ti'ina, I assume. That's besachar. That's only the Rabbanan. So you can lo olam, lo olam, Rabbi Yosef Lilihi. Uve ti'ina savar lak Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Lili agrees with the Rabbanan that you get paid for ti'ina. Interesting. All right, let's get to the Mishnah here. Tana Rabbanan, ki tir'eh, yachal afil mirachok, even if you see it from a distance, you'd have to be obligated to go help. Tam lomar, ki sifka. The other pasuk says that it's only once you actually approach it, when you bump into it. That's the first pasuk, actually. E ki sifka, yachal begia mamish. If it's sifka, maybe it means you have to mamish bump into it, basically. Tam lomar, ki sir'eh, ve'ezuhi re'iya sheishba begia shi'aru chachamim echr mishav mechza b'mil, ve'zehu ris. Can someone give me an actual distance for that? 7.5 mil. Okay. It's 1/7.5.
A mil is 1,000 cubits.
A mil is 1,000 cubits. So if you split up 1,000 cubits by 7, you would get 140? It's about 140, no?
2,000 amos,
a distance
roughly equal to...
Wait, a mil is 2,000 amos?
That's what a mil is equivalent to 2,000 amos.
Oh, I thought you said one. I think 2,000 makes more sense to me, actually.
It says a mil equals 1,000 cubits. So that would be 1,000 amos.
Does a machlokas on Sino in art school?
2/3 of a standard mile.
So it's probably 2,000.
So
it's probably 1,000 amos.
2/3 of a standard mile. So
a mile is 25. Yeah.
A mile is 5280.
5280. So then
2,000.
2/3 of that would be 3,000.
It must be wrong.
Yeah, 2,000 amos. Yeah, 2,000 amos.
It has to be wrong.
It has to be 2,000 amos. So it's 2,000 amos. So if it's 2,000 amos. I guess it's like 280 amos. I mean, what's 1/7? What's 1/7 of 2,000? Is that 280?
Well, let me just...
I don't know how I came to that number.
If a mil is...
I mean, it would be about 300, no? Maybe a little less. Right, seven times.
If it's 2/3 of a mile, it's about 3,500 feet.
Right.
As a mil, and divide that by 15.
No, divided by 7.
So it's about 2.
So it's 3,500 feet, so then it would be about 500 feet, which is about 250 amos. 280 amos. Yeah, it's about 300 amos, 500 feet. That's the obligation. And that's apparently a ris. That's also called a ris. Tana, umedada da imo ad parsa. And you what? You measure, you help it along for a parsa's worth? Because maybe it's going to fall down again. Rabba barachana, venoto sachar, and you get money for nudging it along. Yeah. Okay, shkach.